And God worships, He inhabits the praises of His people. Anybody can worship God when the bank account's full. Anybody can worship God when everything's going your way. But you want to catch heaven's attention? You want to catch Jesus Christ, His attention? When you're going through hell. When everything's coming against you. When you get the layoff. When you get the eviction notice and you're still able to worship Him, you're still able to lift your hands, you're still able to glorify Him, God takes attention. Heaven takes notice of worshipers. And that's what we came here to do. I hope you didn't come here tonight to hear a pretty message. But we come to encounter a living God. And tonight I am praying that God would move by His Spirit and that I would leave differently. I don't want to leave the same way I came. I'm praying for an encounter of God. I'm praying that everyone who came here tonight, that God would speak to, that He would come by His power, come by His Spirit, and that every one of us will leave differently than we came. Amen? So, Father God, tonight we give You this service. Lord, I can do nothing without You. I lay this sermon at Your feet. I lay me at Your feet, Lord God. I'm Your instrument. I pray that You would move supernaturally, that You would anoint me, Lord God, to speak the word of the Lord to Your people. These are Your people, Lord God, which are called by Your name. I lay them at Your feet, Lord God, and I say, Lord, come and do whatever You want to do in here tonight, Lord God. You want to change directions. I say, Lord, please come and do whatever You desire to do in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I want to thank Pastor and his wife for inviting us and giving us the opportunity to come and release the word of the Lord to you. I tell you, you got some wonderful pastor. Don't you have a wonderful pastor and his wife? Whenever I'm not preaching somewhere and whenever we're in town, my mom comes here and we always love coming to this place. I always love listening to this brother preach. Didn't he preach a good word Sunday? Powerful. One of the most funniest preachers I know is your pastor. I got one joke I'll tell you before I preach. A pastor stands up, he gets up to the pulpit, he grabs the microphone on a Sunday morning, and he says, "Let the church walk, let it walk." The deacon in the back of a room, he jumps up and starts shouting, "Hallelujah, pastor, let the church walk, let it walk." Pastor gets up, I hear a ring in the back of his microphone. Pastor gets up, he grabs the microphone, he says, "Let the church run, let it run." The deacon starts running around the church singing, "Hallelujah, pastor, let the church run, let it run." Pastor gets up, grabs the microphone and says, "Let the church fly, let it fly." The deacon starts going like this and he says, "Hallelujah, pastor, let the church fly, let it fly." Pastor gets up, grabs the microphone and said, "It's going to take money to get the church to fly." Deacon says, "Let the church walk, let it walk." How do you guys want this church to fly? Amen? Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I believe that God is going to speak by His Spirit tonight. I'm going to share with you some of our hurt, our pain, our struggles, our disappointments, our failures. Some things that we have been through, but I'm also going to tell you about the power of God and how good God has been to us. Tonight's message is, you must believe that He is. You must believe that He is. Hebrews 11, verse number 1 and verse number 6. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that come to God, here's the word, must believe that He is. and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, everything that you and I will get as born-again believers, we will get it because of the grace of God, but it will be because we activated it through the doorway of faith. You cannot get anything without faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 that we are saved by faith. Titus 3, 5 also confirms that. Galatians 3, verse number 1 says that we get filled with the Holy Spirit, not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. You get saved by faith. You get filled with the Holy Ghost by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 that we walk by faith. We don't walk by how we feel. You don't just preach every time that you feel like it. There's going to be days that you don't feel like preaching. You don't feel like prophesying. You don't feel like going to church. But if you did the world that way, if you only went to work when you felt like it, guess what? You'd be fired by the end of a week. We walk by faith. The Bible says that we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we quench all the fiery darts by taking up the shield of faith. That's how we keep the enemy from getting in and attacking us. We got to have the shield of faith. We're saved by faith, filled with the Holy Ghost by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We quench the fiery darts by faith. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We overcome the world by our faith. Everything that you and I will receive from God will be because of His grace, but because of our faith. It says in verse number 6, he that comes to God must believe that He is. That He is what? We're going to mention a few things about the character of God. Who is God? We got to realize how big of a God we serve. Number one, He is a good God. He that comes to God must believe that He is a good God. How many of you guys believe that we serve a good God? The Bible says that we are to worship Him. And he is good, the Bible says. He is righteous. Many times the Word of God says that He is a good God. Now that does not mean that we're not going to go through trials. That does not mean that we're not going to go through some storms. That does not mean that we're going to not have any disappointments in our lives. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse number 2, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Twice it says when, not if. When you walk through the waters. When you walk through the fire. Everybody say when. You see, it also says, Jesus says it like this in John 16, verse number 33. He said, in the world you will, someone say will. You will have tribulation. You see, David says it like this in Psalms 34, verse number 19. He says, many, say many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. James chapter 1, verse number 2 and verse number 3. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when, say when you fall into diverse temptations. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse number 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is, someone say is to try you. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving God, how much Bible you got memorized, how spiritual you are, how much you speak in tongues, you're going to go through some trials and storms in your life. And usually it comes when you're in the middle of God's will, doing what God has called you to do. David was out fighting the battles, doing what God has called him to do, to come home back to Ziklag to find his wives and his children taken captive, and his city was on fire. right in the middle of doing what God has called him to do, he comes home to find his world up, changed, turned upside down. Job was in a prayer meeting interceding for his children. When word comes that he lost his children, lost his business, lost his home, right in the center of being a righteous man, loving God, a praying man, seeking God's face, find his world turned upside down for God. We've been in the ministry for over 20 years now, and I've seen God do some power things. In the last 10 years, we preached to over 250,000 people in Cincinnati, homeless drug addicts, rescuing women from prostitution, raising up ministries to minister to children in the hood and into the projects. And right in the middle of seeing God move and pour out his spirit and thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ, people getting delivered from demons and from heroin and crack cocaine, getting water baptized right on the streets. We would take baptism takes out on the streets and God would be moving. People be getting water baptized right there on the spot. You guys have been there and seen it. Doing street outreaches on the corner. God pouring out his spirit. Here I am in the center of God's will, doing exactly what God is calling me to do, and God is moving. Lives are getting changed and impacted by the power of God. To come home August 13th, 2014, to find out that our lives would never be the same again. Me and my wife had 4 children, 3 daughters and a son, all of them in the 20s. But 2 years ago, came home to find our son. Now, our son loved the Lord very much. Did he love the Lord? Knew the word of the Lord to go around prophesying over the homeless people. Everything that my son owned, you could have put in a suitcase because he gave everything away. He gave away his clothes. He gave away my clothes to the homeless people. I'd wake up and say, where'd my pants go? I gave them to some homeless man. Dad, where'd that blanket go? Where'd that pillow go? Oh, I gave it to a homeless person. My son really loved the Lord, and he was such a powerful prayer warrior. And I came home from an outreach doing what God. I just got done baptizing people in water down in Lower Price Hill and doing God's will to come home that night almost 2.5 years ago. Came home and took off my shoes and was starting to relax. And my youngest daughter lived with us at the same time. She's married now, has 2 grandsons. But my daughter said to my wife, Mom, do you know that the basement light's on? And Mom and Lisa, my wife, says, no, I didn't know that. So she went to go turn the light off and open that basement door. And there our 19-year-old son laid. My wife comes screaming and running in the house, saying, come quickly, get your shoes on. Our son's hurt. We got to take him to the hospital. I didn't grab the shoes. I didn't worry about it. I ran to the basement as fast as I could, and I stepped in a big pool of blood, and immediately I knew that our son has passed away already. There was some kind of freak accident took place, a gunshot wound to the stomach. And I got on my knees and I begged God for 20 minutes. And I held my boy and I was still standing in his blood and I was begging God, God, please bring my son back. Lord, God, please bring my son back. One of the hardest days of our life. Watched him carry our son out in a body bag. Preached my son's funeral 4 days later. Preached a message, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And I come to realize that there's going to be times in your life that you're going to have some situations that you don't understand. There's going to be some disappointments. There's going to be some failures. There's going to be some hurt moments in your life. There's going to be some things that you might lose very dearly in your life, but you got to make a decision ahead of time that you're going to trust the Lord no matter what comes your way. You see, because you have a temptation, there's a temptation. And I got to tell you, the first 2 days I wanted to quit. I wanted to throw in a towel. I texted all of my pastor friends and I said, that's it, I'm done. I'm a failure. I quit. I'm done with the ministry. I can't do it no more. And on the third day, I woke up and I made the decision. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in a towel. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm going to keep doing what God has called us to do. And God somehow in His grace and His mercy gave me the ability to preach my own son's funeral. That's not even natural. But God gives you the ability as you decide to trust Him and serve Him and honor Him. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not towards your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You see, it's okay for me 2.5 years later still be hurting, still be grieving, still not understanding what happened that day. But at the end of the day, I got to say, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. Lord, this situation hurts me deeply, but I trust You. And you got to learn how to trust God in the mountains and in the valleys. Why? Because He is a good God. Somehow we got to believe that He's turning every mess into a message. Every test into a testimony. He said all things work together for good for those that love Him and those that are called according to His purpose. I don't know how God is going to turn that around, but one thing I do know, He is good and He's working behind the scenes. 1 year ago, I preached my grandson's funeral that died of SIDS. We was believing God for a miracle. We was trusting God for healing. We had praise and worship going in the hospital for 30 days. We had prayer teams coming. We had scriptures all over. We was anointing our grandson and believing that God was going to heal him. And watch him gag for 8 hours as they pulled the tube out of his throat. And watch our grandson go into the presence of the Lord. We got to learn how to trust God whether it makes sense or not. He's still a good God. And you got to make a decision tonight. No matter who I lose or what I lose, I am not going to get mad. I am not going to get bitter. I am not going to throw in a towel. But when I don't understand it, when it doesn't make sense, I made up my mind to choose the Lord and praise Him because He is good. Amen? He is a good God. But not only is He a good God, you must believe that He is a saving God. There is not one person that God cannot reach. His hand is not short. His ear is not dull. I believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why we preach the good news, because we believe that God is able to save even to the uttermost, it says in Hebrews 7:25. It doesn't matter what a person has done, where they've been, how many times they've shot up heroin. God is able to seek and save that which is lost. It said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. If you are here tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? He's here tonight and He's able to save you. It doesn't matter how chaotic your life has been. Jesus is here tonight to seek and save that which is lost. Amen? We serve a saving God. Must believe that He is a good God. Must believe that He is a saving God. Another one, you must believe that He is a delivering God. There is no chain, there is no addiction, there is no bondage that is greater than the name of Jesus. There is nothing that cannot be broken because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how long one person has been addicted to heroin, crack cocaine, alcohol, or pornography. Why? Because we believe that we serve a good God. He's a saving God, and He is a delivering God. Amen? Think about this. If God is able to deliver 4 million Jews out of slavery, out of bondage, out of Egypt, don't you think he's able to deliver you? If God is able to deliver Daniel out of a lion's den, don't you think he can deliver you? If God is able to deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, don't you think that God is big enough to deliver you of whatever your addiction is, whatever your bondage is, whatever is driving you away or driving you to do things that you normally would not do? I still believe that there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not only is he a saving God, a good God, a delivering God, I'm just going to hit a bunch of them tonight, just as the Holy Spirit leads me. He's a forgiving God. You must believe that he's able to forgive you. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse number 12, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's willing to remove your sins and to forgive you. Now let me break you down to what that verse really means. I thank God that God did not say in Psalms 103:12, as far as the north is to the south, that's how far I'll remove your sins. Because if God would have said, as far as the north is to the south, that's how much I love you, that's how much I'm willing to forgive you, that would make God's love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness limited. In fact, you can get on your phone right now if you have a Sierra phone and say, Sierra, what is the distance between the North Pole and the South Pole? Your iPhone will come back and Siri say the distances between the North Pole and the South Pole is 12,340 miles. Go ahead and write it down. Check me out later. 12,340 miles. Other words, if God would have said as far as the north is to the south, that means he could only mess up so many times. And once you reach that limit, once you reach that number, once you crossed over, God will say, nope, you hit the pole, it's over. But God did not say, as far as the north is to the south. He said, as far as the east is from the west. Me and my wife went to Israel in 1999. But if our plane would have never made it, if it would have kept on going instead of hitting our destination in Israel, and it would have kept going east, guess what? We would still be going east if we didn't run out of gas. And a million years from now, we would still be going east if we didn't run out of gas or detour. You will never be able to reach that limit. God said, my love for you is unlimited. My grace for you is unlimited. My forgiveness for you is unlimited. It doesn't matter how far you've gone astray or what you have done, how many times you relapsed. It says in 1 John 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all. Someone say all. From all unrighteousness. We must believe that he is. He that comes to God must believe that he is. He's a good God. He's a saving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a delivering God. He's a healing God. Isaiah 53, verse number 4. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We just sang about the healing power of God. Aren't you grateful that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? God has not changed. God is no respecter of person. What Jesus did when he walked on this earth, he still wants to do today. I come to proclaim that I believe that we serve a healing God. There is no sickness, no disease, no infirmity that the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus cannot heal. By his stripes, do you realize what Jesus went through? Hit the wounds of Jesus. They ripped his back to shreds until it looked like a raw piece of meat. Tonight I want to tell you about the wounds of Jesus. The wounds that were on his back. Then they put a crown of thorns, 3 or 4 inches thick, and they drove it into his skull. And blood was pouring down his face. I come to tell you tonight about the blood of Jesus, about the wounds that he went through. And the hands, and they put nails in his hands and in his feet. The wounds of Jesus. And then after he gave up the ghost, they took a spear and they drove it in his side, and blood and water came out. And it says that by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. And tonight we must come to him and believe that he is a good God, that he is a saving God, that he is a forgiving God, that he is a delivering God, that he is a healing God. And here's the one I really want to bring home tonight as well. This will be the last one. He's a providing God. I preach a message, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. Some of you came in this house tonight and you are down to nothing, and the Lord sent me to tell you that when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. You must believe that he is. In the last 5 years, I can tell you about 3 times I was down to nothing. And every time, God was up to something. You're not the first deacon to bring me a towel. What is all this about? Ah, okay. 3 times I was down to nothing. 6 years ago, I've always worked at making a living. I've been in ministry for 20 years, but I always worked my own way, making caskets. Worked for Batesville Casket 15 years, Aurora Casket 5 years, and then did ministry on the side. Until 6 years ago, I went skydiving. How many guys have ever been skydiving? Let me see your hand. You've been skydiving. It was a changing point in my life. You see, because all of that time before that skydiving experience, I've always worked my own way. But 6 years ago, I went skydiving, went up to Middletown, Ohio. My mom's the one that paid for me to jump out of a plane. That's a good mama. You always like joking about Stacy and mom and dad. Here's a good one for mom. Paid for me to jump out of a perfect good airplane 3 miles up in the air. I will never forget that day. When I went up there to jump out of that plane, you see, they had a screen that was, you watch the screen and you wait for your name. They had different frames. And when your frame came up and your name on it, there was a name that came up beside your name. That was the person that I was going to be attached to, that I was going to jump out of a perfect good airplane 3 miles up in the air. And I couldn't wait. I didn't care about any other name on that screen. I waited for my name to come up. I want to know who I'm jumping out of a plane with. I want to know who I'm trusting my life with. And so when my name came up and I seen the name that was beside my, I went on a hunt. I got to find out who this guy is, because I only got one question for this guy. It's not, are you saved? It's not, do you speak in tongues? It's not, do you have the Bible memorized? I got one question for the man that I'm about to jump out of a plane with. It was, how many times have you done this? One question. When that guy told me how many times he did it, I remember that day, is 7,000. That man told me he had that many jumps under his belt and he still lived to tell it. He must know what he's doing. It gave me so much faith in this man, I didn't even ask where the cord was in case he got knocked out on the way down. I was trusting in him because of his experience. I put that much faith in him. And here I am on the way back down 75 South from Middletown to Cincinnati, Ohio, going back home. I'm on an adrenaline rush. I've never felt anything like that in my life. And the Holy Spirit spoke so clear to me. And said, you mean you put that much faith in a man that you only knew for 5 minutes? How long have you known me? How long have you been walking with me? And it struck me so hard, I knew it was the word of the Lord. I went back and I fasted and prayed for 3 days, seeking the face of God. And now I got one question for God. Now I'm just saying to God, bid me to come. God, if you want me to walk away from everything and trust you completely, give myself completely to the homeless, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the children, the inner city, I will, if I can trust a man, surely I can trust you. But you got to bid me to come. You don't walk away from a job unless you know you heard from God. You see, Peter, when he got out of a boat and started walking on water, he told Jesus, bid me to come. You don't get out of a boat and walk on water unless you got a word from God. But when you got a word from God, you can do the impossible. Amen? On the third day at the end of that fast, here I am making caskets. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, come. I come home. I tell my wife, my son, my three daughters, God wants me to walk away from everything. 401k, insurance, benefits, 6 days, sick days, vacation days, and trust Him completely and go give myself to the inner core of Cincinnati. My wife, my four kids, including my son, every one of them, God told you to do it, do it. I go back in, I hand a 7-day work notice into my boss. Everybody thought I was nuts. I thought I was nuts, but I knew I heard from God. And I had such a peace. Here I am, I don't have a missionary account. And I'm walking away from an industry that's taken care of me for 20 years, 67 different job skills, welding and grinding, installing interiors, and doing everything there is for a casket. And I'm walking out with such a peace from God. Next day I woke up and I still didn't know where my next paycheck's coming from, but I knew I heard from God. A church in Erlanger, Kentucky called me on the phone. They knew we serve the homeless. We'd gone there many times. And said, hey, there's a homeless guy on our steps. Can you come and take care of him? Said, yeah, I'd love to. Didn't know what else I was going to do. You know, I sought the Lord that morning, so I said, I'll be right up. Me and my wife drove up, got the homeless guy, took care of him. By the end of that first day, God gave me 3 months' income. And I watched God provide our needs for 2 years. We still didn't have a missionary account, but God has connected us with people that were partnering with us, that believed in us, that supported us. It's been amazing. But then here I was teaching discipleship class in Cincinnati. Over 100 homeless people, 9 and O's, right on 9th and Elm Street. You served in that building with me. I started a discipleship class for the homeless at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the first day I started it, 50 homeless people was waiting to get inside. I wouldn't give them breakfast, only coffee and the Word of God. And then by the end of the first week, there was 100 people that was coming to discipleship class. I was only going to do it 5 days a week because I was already doing 17 outreaches. We was all over the city. I didn't need another assignment. And here on Friday, the homeless people, they looked at me and said, we are so grateful that you are doing this, but what about Saturday and Sunday? So I started something called Daily Bread 365, and I got other pastors involved. This pastor, you have Mondays. This pastor, you got Tuesdays. And we started having 7 days a week discipleship class. And here is my turn to teach, and I was teaching expositorily, verse by verse, through 1 Kings chapter 17, one of my favorite characters, about the life of Elijah. The process that one must go through in order to be used of God before you call down fire from heaven, before you raise people from the dead. God's got to prove you. He's got to test you. He's got to try you. There's a process to be used of God. And so here I am teaching this discipleship class to the homeless, over 100 people. And I get to verse number 8. And I'm teaching, what do you do when your brook runs dry? What do you do when the ravens are no longer coming and the brook no longer has water in it? You don't move until God gives you another assignment. You stay put. You keep doing what God has told you to do until you get the next assignment. And I'm teaching this to the homeless people, and guess what? I wake up the next day, and God chooses to try me on my word. Every person that supported me begin to call me one by one. I'm sorry, my business is going through a rough time. We can't support you right now. My own mother called me up. I can't really support you. Every one of my supporters that was supporting us to give ourselves completely to the ministry was going through a rough time and called me up, and my brook went dry. The Raven's no longer coming. For the first time in 2 years, I'm down to nothing. The Ravens were coming every day, and the Ravens quit coming. The brook was dried up. Now I got to hold fast to what I told the homeless people to do. I didn't tell anyone that we was down to nothing. For the first time in 2 years, I didn't have enough money to pay rent. I was down to nothing. I didn't even tell our kids what we was going through. Me and my wife says this is the time to seek the face of God. God wants me to go back and make caskets. I'll go back. I'll keep doing what we're doing with the homeless. I love working. I love welding and grinding. I don't have a problem if God would choose to send us back into that occupation. But I really believe that we heard from God, and every dime that we got left, we don't got enough to pay rent anyway. We went to a Friday night church service in Florence. We took every dime we had left, and we gave it into the offering, and nobody knew. And while I was sowing that little bit of handful of flour that I had, and we gave it unto God, and trusting God to do whatever He wanted with our lives, I missed a phone call. I left my phone outside. I was so serious. I leave my iPhone out in the car. I mean business with God. And I went out there, and I looked, and I seen a missed call from Bob Clark, Lord's Gym, Cincinnati. We was doing a lot of outreaches with them, so we was already in their circle. We was already raising up ministries and preaching out of his facility, so they was well acquainted of who we are and what we're all about and our passion, our vision. Said, wonder what Bob wants. I called him back. I said, hey, Bob, I in church. I noticed that I missed a call from you. What up? He says, well, I just want to let you know that we had a special business meeting today. We want to bring you on salary, insurance, benefits, sick days, vacation days. You go preach to the homeless. You go rescue the prostitutes. You go do what God has called you to do, and we'll give you a paycheck for it. For 3 years, we watched God move, and we birthed ministries for the Lord's Gym that are out there doing great things for God even now. And then when I lost my son 2 years ago, August 13th, 2014, the third time, all my bills are paid, life is good, ministry's good, but we're down to $18. I told you, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. If you respond right, you got a part to play in this. And I made a lot of caskets, thousands and thousands of caskets. Batesville Casket makes 1,250 caskets a day. And so I have a lot of experience making caskets. And I preached a lot of funerals, literally dozens and dozens, probably over 100 funerals by now. All kinds of reasons, murders and people overdosing on heroin and other situations. But here I am, I never had to pay for a casket before. I can preach a funeral and I can make a casket, but I don't know anything about paying for funerals. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's going to cost $10,000 to bury your son. Me and my wife and our daughters, we went down and to the funeral home in Harrison, Ohio. We picked out the casket with moderation, knowing we got $18. And so in faith, we picked it out. The tombstone, we went and reserved the spot. We went and got the tombstone, what we wanted on it, and then the gravesite, we went and purchased a plot. Calculated it up, and guess what? $10,000 is going to cost to bury our son. We got $18. And I posted on Facebook, family and friends, this is our darkest hour. We need the family. We need our family and friends and the body of Christ to come beside us and encourage us and help us. And we set it up a Fifth Third account, where anyone could walk into Fifth Third and say, Jeremiah David Turner Memorial Account. And one by one, people begin to walk in the Fifth Third, deposit crazy amounts. I preached at a small church in Maysville, Kentucky. And when they heard what happened, less than 100 members, after their tithes and offerings, they decided to pick up a spontaneous offering, $1,700, sent it to us. 500 here, 20 here. Some people was walking in depositing every dime they got. Who deposits 25, 80? You know, it's like every dime they got. Over 100 people walked in the Fifth Third within the first 3 days of losing our son. And right before I got up and preached my son's funeral, $10,000 came in. And I told the funeral director, let me write you a check. She goes, no, you don't have to do that right now. I says, yes, I do. When I get up in this pulpit and preach my son's funeral, I want the devil to know that we serve a good God and he provides for his people. Then the next day, someone say the next day, I'm coming in for a landing. What does that mean for a preacher? Absolutely nothing. Who would give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. You guys know all of them. I know you do from him. The next day I woke up and I posted on Facebook one more time, family, friends, we are so grateful. The Lord has provided $10,000 have come in. Thank you, body of Christ. Thank you, family and friends who supported us and embraced us and prayed for us and gave towards our darkest hour. And the next day, that same day, the next day after the funeral, someone walked into Fifth Third account to this day. We do not know who walked into that account. It could have been a man, it could have been a woman, it could have been a child, it could have been an angel from heaven, and it might have just been a bank accident, and I sure didn't go in to find out. Someone walked in and carried $10,000 cash and deposited into our account. God said, I'm not only able to meet your need, I'm able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. And because you honored me, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Everybody stay on your feet tonight. Says he that comes to God must believe that he is. How many of you guys believe tonight that we serve a saving God? How many of you believe that we serve a delivering God? How many believe that we serve a forgiving God? How many believe that we serve a healing God? How many people in this house, you believe in God for a miracle in some area of your life? You need to see the power of God show up in your life. You need healing. You need deliverance. You need forgiveness or restoration. We serve a restoring God. I come to tell someone that he's able to restore what the enemy has stolen from your life. He said that he will restore what the locusts have eaten. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. Tonight, I am believing for breakthrough. I'm believing for miracles. Brother Wade, come on up here and help me. We're believing for the power of God to show up. And if you need God to move in your life tonight, this is your night. I want you to just lift up your hand and say, that's me. I need a miracle. I need a breakthrough. There's something in my life, and my hand's up, that I'm believing God to move. One by one, I want you guys to begin to come down here. We're going to lay hands on you. Let me see some anointing oil. Shialamaka. You need to feel the Holy Spirit. Come down here right now. You need healing in your body. We're going to come against cancer. If there's any cancer in here, come on up. We believe in the healing power of God. Just come up, form a line. Some of you come up, Wade. Some over here, come on up here. I'll pray for you as well. Anybody? Kialama. Touch right now, Father God. Touch. Touch. Healing, Lord God. We plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for healing. God, we believe that you are a healing God. Nothing is impossible with you, Lord God. Right now, move in Nina. We speak the fire of God. We speak the healing power of God. We believe, Lord God, we speak the name of Jesus. You said, lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Come on up here. I'll pray for you. Anybody? What do you need God to do?
I got something going on in my foot.
I got, brother, could you come up here? So, Father God, as I touch her, I pray you touch her. I pray for the power of God, the anointing of God, the healing power of God. Fall upon her right now in Jesus' name. Be healed. Kialabaka. In the name of Jesus, right now. In the name of Jesus. The power of God right now. The healing power of God. Be healed right now. Pain, I come against you. You have no power. You have no authority. You have no dominion. This is a child of God. She's covered by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, be healed right now. You need a miracle. Come on up. Come on up. We're believing big tonight. What do you need from the Lord?